Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The school supplies fly off the shelves and the bulletin boards are stapled in place. We're broadcasting live this week from the new SDPB Black Hills Bureau in the historic Parts Central Building downtown Rapid City. Stop by and say hello. Dr. Lori Simon did. She's superintendent of the Rapid City School District. She joins me now in the studio. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, good morning, and thank you for the invitation to be here.
So we have an idea, those of us who are parents, what it takes to get a child ready for school, or children. We have some idea of what teachers go through to get ready for school. What does a superintendent have to do to get ready for a new school year that's different from the work that you do all year long?
You know, it's a lot of ramping up and preparation on the part of my senior team and their respective teams and all of our leaders at our school level that really starts at the end of the school year, the previous school year. So we've already been planning for the launch of school since probably the end of May, early June. Involves a lot of planning, preparation, coordination. As we think about, in particular, the launch of our new strategic plan this school year and how we begin with that as we enter the new school year.
How often do you have a new strategic plan?
You know, generally strategic plans are 4 to 5 year plans. This is a plan that we developed collaboratively that involved a lot of community stakeholder engagement last school year, and we are looking at it as a 5-year plan and getting set to launch yet this week.
Some of the hallmarks of that. What are we going to hear you talking about the most in that 5-year plan?
Yes. So we have 5 key goal areas, starting with the fundamental reading by the end of third grade, which is so critical to student success in school. So we're considering that our foundational goal. We also have a goal around 21st century learning and the work of our STEAM Squared Task Force and looking at more innovative practices and how do we create more 21st century learning environments and teaching and learning for our students. Another critical goal area to support that is our teaching and leading goals. So what kind of professional development and support do we need for our teachers, staff, leaders, and our board at all levels to support the implementation of our work as we think about moving to a 21st century learning environment? We have a critical college, career, and life readiness goal, which will involve a lot of partnerships with not only business and community, but our higher ed partners as well. And then our final goal area is around partnerships across our community to support a strong and robust school system.
Let's talk a little bit about that teacher training and how that applies. And when we looked at education reform, which maybe you've been here a year.
Yes.
Now, was that happening before you came? And, you know, right, you were probably hearing about it right when you got here as far as raising teacher pay and stuff. Have you seen the change and the implications of that? Are you having an easier time recruiting and keeping teachers, or more work to be done? What are your thoughts?
Yes, well, you know, that was a great start, and I want to thank the governor and the legislature for their work in this effort and all those involved. We are seeing a tremendous difference in terms of our ability to recruit teachers, high-quality, well-qualified teachers who otherwise might have looked elsewhere, as well as retain teachers. Our incoming group of new teachers is markedly smaller than in past years, and it may just be a one-time thing, but quite a difference in terms of how many teachers we did retain from last school year.
Does the professional development and leadership development play into that retention role, or is it in place more to sort of help the students and help work on those 21st yeah. century learning skills that will be implemented yeah. in the actual classroom? Do they go together?
Yeah, they are definitely intertwined. It's a combination of both. We want to not only attract really bright, talented teachers, whether they're brand new to the profession or whether they're someone maybe who has experience and is coming to us new in Rapid City. We want to retain those teachers, and we know that part of that is providing strong professional development and support. But also as we move forward with the implementation of our strategic plan and as we try to support innovation in the classroom, we also need to provide teachers with the training and the tools so that they can try new things and feel as though they've got the skills and confidence to do so.
What does that look like? 21st century learning environment. Mm-hmm. Give me an example of what I'm looking for there.
Okay. You know, it can mean a number of things. Certainly, you hear a lot about 21st century skills, you know, right. The four C's of communication, collaboration, critical thinking, communication, etc. So certainly 21st century skills are a piece of that. And as we talk to our business partners, those are the skills that when we ask them what do our students need to be successful, it's those kinds of skills that are sometimes called the soft skills, but they're very critical to success in any endeavor beyond school and post-secondary. But it's much more than that. It's about rethinking how we configure grades and students. It's about looking at how do we personalize the learning? What's the role of technology in the classroom to help accelerate and support learning? It's about thinking innovatively. It's thinking about STEM and STEAM and how do we provide more of an integrated learning environment so that the learning is more relevant and engaging for students. So there's no one thing that describes 21st century learning, but it does require us to think outside of the schoolroom walls that we have traditionally had in place for more than a century.
You mentioned STEAM and the A stands for arts, and you started out your life as a vocal music major when you first got your bachelor's before you went on to all the other degrees that you had. How does that change? How does your beginning in the arts and the music world sort of change who you are as a superintendent? Do you continue to bring the arts into that role?
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting question. The arts have always been a passion in my life, and I shared with a group of Central High School students last year that it was really the arts that kept me in school in high school, that kept me engaged in coming to school. And if not for my involvement in all of our arts activities, I'm not sure where my path would have gone. So I am a firm believer in the arts and the role that they play in producing well-rounded students and young adults. That is something that, along with other activities, I believe are essential. So we'll always be a proponent. And when I've talked with our business and community partners who are going to be involved with our STEAM Squared Task Force work, they are equally as adamant that the arts play a critical role in making sure we keep the creativity in STEM.
Right. We've talked quite a bit on this show in the past 2 days about workforce development and getting kids ready for a technical school and some of the places that maybe parents and students don't have on their radar yet. So I'm hoping you and I can talk a little bit about college readiness first. And what about the push between dual credit and AP? That seems to be a new sort of thing that's happening across the state. Is that something you're seeing in the Rapid City School District where families are trying to figure out what is the best way to sort of approach those kids' education who are college bound?
You know, I certainly hear that discussion out there, and I don't look at it as an either or. I look at it as there are multiple pathways for students, and through our college career readiness umbrella and goal area, we are going to be looking at developing more pathways for students so that wherever direction they go, they've got options to explore. I think that there is a role for both AP and dual enrollment and concurrent enrollment within those pathways.
What's the difference between dual enrollment and concurrent enrollment?
So generally, as I know it defined, dual enrollment is where a student goes to a nearby university to take a class. Oftentimes, concurrent enrollment is where your own high school teachers have been trained, sure, and it's approved by the higher ed institution. In terms of the course that's being offered, the course is offered at that high school, taught by that high school teacher, but for college credit.
So one of the challenges for students is, even though there's multiple pathways, they have to pick one of those paths. Are we seeing more sort of head toward the dual or concurrent enrollment and away from AP because of the AP testing? How does a student make a choice about what's best for them, and how do families help their students choose the best pathway? Now again, we're talking about college-bound students who feel like that's their future after high school.
You know, I think it starts with more earlier awareness, and that is part of the work that we are hoping to do. We really want to start having kids think about college and career. And by college, we don't necessarily mean just a four-year college opportunity. We really mean any post-secondary opportunity, whether it be a one-year training or certificate course, a two-year technical or community college, four-year degree, any kind of credential beyond high school. So we believe that awareness needs to be begun at a very early age, beginning in the early elementary. We need to start talking about post-secondary and college and career readiness. And then from there, build that foundation into the middle school, where we have some pretty robust exploration that would lead to some well-defined pathways at the high school level for our students to explore further and much more in depth. But we've had this discussion: is a student, as we define those pathways, going to be constricted to just that one pathway? And our feeling is no. If a student goes down that road and it's not a good fit, well then we want to have flexibility for them to try another route.
Final thoughts on your first year here and what you've particularly enjoyed and look forward to with this upcoming school year.
Yeah. I was very pleased with the first school year, and really the goals were to get some very foundational things in place to improve communication and transparency, to get a strategic plan in place, develop a new website, new logo and branding, get a community advisory council in place, a new professional development calendar. I feel like we got a lot of very foundational things in place. I'm so excited for the new school year and the launch of our strategic plan. And as I reflect back on the last year, it's really been wonderful. And I want to thank the community for embracing me and my husband and welcoming us to the community. I think the thing that I've enjoyed most about my work is, in a community of size, you truly can invest in the community and be very involved at the school level. And we just enjoy getting out to the different school and community events.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We hope you'll come back throughout the school year, give us some updates, and it's a beautiful place to live. We hope you're here for a long time. Dr. Lori Simon, thank you.
Thank you.